Hello, Ema, and thanks for linking up with me in this very frenetic moment. I understand that the press conference with Father Lombardi has only just finished. It's been, could we say, a salient event of the day.
Absolutely. I don't think there can be any doubts that this has been the moment that perhaps the press themselves and indeed the whole world was waiting for. There'd been such speculation ahead of Pope Benedict XVI's visit to Malta over whether he would actually meet with abuse victims. And indeed, it has taken place.
The meeting of the Pope with these persons, victims of abuse, was in the chapel of the Nunciature. Some minutes after the coming back of the Pope from the celebration of this morning.
Father Lombardi had always said that if it was to take place, it would be a private meeting, a personal meeting, an encounter between Pope Benedict XVI as a pastor and these people who suffered abuse at the hands of clergy when they were children.
The meeting took place in the chapel of the Nunciature just after this morning's Mass ended, and there were eight men present. Am I correct?
That's correct, Linda. Father Lombardi told journalists that as soon as Pope Benedict XVI arrived at the Nunciature, which is in Rabat, it's not far at all from where the Mass took place in Granary Square, Floriana, he immediately made his way to the chapel of the Apostolic Nunciature there in Rabat. Waiting for him were eight men of the 10 men who are members of this victim's support group. They had asked, they had made the request through their bishops, Bishop Mario Grech of Gozo and Archbishop Paul Cremona of Malta, to be able to meet with the Pope. It was very important for them, so it was an extremely important moment for them. They were abused as children in a home for boys, St. Joseph's Home for Boys.
During what years, Ema?
Most of these men would have been, they're now in their mid to late 30s, so we're speaking about the 1970s and 1980s.
Right.
One of the points that Father Lombardi immediately wanted to stress and make to the international journalists when they asked the questions is that this was a private meeting. It was a personal encounter.
This is an occasion, a sign of taking part, of listening, of engagement also from the side of the Church, and is not a legal event with particular concrete consequences or aspect of legal procedures.
It lasted a little over 20 minutes. It was a moment for the Pope to listen. Once again, we have this word being repeated. It's a word that we heard from his meeting with victims of abuse in America, a word that we heard from his meeting with victims of abuse from Australia. He was listening to their stories. The press statement that was released immediately after this encounter speaks of Pope Benedict's shame and sorrow. Again, we hear this word, shame. It's a very strong word. He first used it on the airplane on his journey to America. And sorrow over what the victims and their families have suffered, because we must remember it's not just the victims themselves who suffer this terrible physical and psychological abuse, but their families also, as a consequence, suffer from it. Father Lombardi said that he listened to the victims and then he asked to pray with the victims. And he assured them that the Church is doing and will continue to do all in its power to investigate allegations and to bring to justice those responsible for abuse and to implement effective measures designed to safeguard young people in the future. So once again, highlighting the fact that the Church is not shying away from this problem. It recognizes it is a problem, it is a scandal, and it must be addressed. But separating the fact, the need to address this issue from reconciliation, which is a very spiritual, private matter.
Did Father Lombardi make any mention of the atmosphere that presided during the meeting, although it was a private one?
He did indeed.
I had an impression of a serene atmosphere. It was intense, touching, but not oppressive, not difficult. The communication atmosphere was very, very, very good.
He said that there was a very familial atmosphere between the bishops of Malta and these eight men. He said it was very obvious to anyone else present at this meeting that they knew each other well, and that there was a very good relationship between the church leaders here in Malta and these men. He said that this helped create a very serene atmosphere in the meeting itself. He said it was in no way aggressive. He said it was in no way an angry meeting or an angry encounter. It was one where there was immense sorrow. There was immense pain, but there was also a certain serenity. There was a serenity that they were having their voices heard, and there was a serenity that they were bringing their stories to the Pope, making him aware of what they lived through.
Ema, what about the atmosphere amongst the journalists? Do you think, did you get the feeling they were satisfied with Father Lombardi's comments?
Something that is that has struck me deeply, Linda, in these days, because of course when we work in Vatican Radio, as you know, we are working within the Vatican itself, so we aren't always exposed to the opinions and to the attitudes of journalists from other news organisations, from other countries, is that they very much more or less, sometimes I get the feeling that they don't want to actually see the facts for what they are when they're quite simple and straightforward. What do I mean by this? The questions they were asking Lombardi, for example, the length of time it's taking these 10 men, even though there were only 8 present this morning, this is a group of 10 men who are trying to have justice served in their cases. I'm not only talking about justice in terms of reconciliation with the church, with seeing their abusers being brought to justice and being dealt with by the church, but also justice within the civilian courts.
Right.
They are still trying to get that justice. Their trial, their case is being held up in the civilian courts. Now, for some reason, a lot of the journalists here are convinced that this is from to do with church interference. The bishops have been stressing, since the news of these cases first came to light in the lead-up to Pope Benedict's visit to Malta, that it's not the church who's holding up these cases. These cases are being held up in the civic court, that the church leaders themselves, Archbishop Cremona, has appealed to the judges to do something to speed up the cases being heard in the civic courts. The priest who's organising the youth group meeting that Pope Benedict the 16th is taking part in on Sunday evening is a Salesian priest who runs a home for boys here in Malta, and he has been following a lot of these abuse victims, and he says that it's hurting them, it's hurting the church and the priests who work with street children, the priests who are trying to help young people who are in prison, the priests who are trying to help young drug addicts, because a lot of people reading international press believe that it's the church holding up these cases being heard in the courts, when in fact it is the slow process of the civil courts. And even though Father Lombardi repeated this again and again, that the church is appealing to the government to speed up the cases of these young men so they can finally have closure to a certain degree, at least closure from seeing the civil cases and the civil trial ending, that it still is a matter that's in the hand of the civil court. So I don't know whether the journalists were actually satisfied with this, because they kept repeating the same question over and over again.
Thank you, Ema. You've been very clear about the press conference and about the meeting. Just briefly, you mentioned the Archbishop Paul Cremona, who, if I'm not mistaken, this morning at the Mass took it upon himself actually to speak out and say that the Church must recognise the failures and sins of its members.
Absolutely. Archbishop Cremona welcoming Pope Benedict the 16th to Granary Square. That was absolutely packed. I can't describe how dense the crowds were at the Mass this morning. He said, today we are searching especially for a new evangelization.
Society has changed, and it is a challenge for the Catholic Church to examine itself and its methods of evangelization.
He said that we know that in the light of these changing conditions of the church, that we cannot just cling to a model of the church to which we have been accustomed for decades. We have to return to the church as it unfolds in the Acts of the Apostles, a church which centers around the listening to and sharing of the word in the Eucharist, a church humble enough to recognize the failures and sins in its members, but strong enough to count on the presence of the Holy Spirit, a church which does not seek privileges but merely strives just to deliver the good news of the Lord. So he's definitely asking the church to do more, to return to being a simpler, humbler church, to getting back to basics.
And he's certainly not hiding behind the hedge. He's being very outspoken.
Absolutely. I have to say, hats off to the Maltese bishops. They have never been afraid to answer any journalists' questions on this issue. Every single time a query has been brought out, their response has been immediate with the facts of the case. And if the church, as in the case of these 10 men who suffered abuses, children, was wrong, sinned gravely, seriously, then it has to be admitted. It cannot be denied in any way.
Iman, I don't want to think that the whole visit has been overshadowed by this issue, although, of course, it's forefront on the agenda. What is the atmosphere in Malta? How joyous are the people to be receiving Pope Benedict at this rather particular time?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Linda, because while, of course, this issue is dominating the journalists here, the international journalists, over 300 of them, and while this issue is dominating international media, and while this issue is probably in the minds of a lot of our listeners who read the newspapers every day, listen to the news, watch the television, the Maltese people themselves know the bishops are doing what they're doing. They know the church is doing what it's doing. It's best to resolve this issue. And beyond that, they don't really care because their Pope is here. To say that this is a festival of the faith is an understatement. There is such a party atmosphere on the streets of Malta, Linda. It's very difficult to describe, but I will try to do so. Walking along the capital of Valletta, the predominant colour here in Valletta is sandstone. It's a very light pale yellow. When I first arrived on Thursday, it was all I could see, the pale yellow bricks of these houses built and hewn into the hills of Malta with their green balconied windows and roofs. Well, if you go out there today, all you're going to see is yellow and white.
Flags.
Every single surface has been covered with flags, with coloured sheets, with banners. The flowers have been organised on the windows that they were once multicoloured. They're now all yellow and white. They have old people walking around with baseball caps on their heads. They're waving banners arm in arm with the young people. This is another thing that struck me. It's not just the elderly people. It's not just the young people. It's across generations, families. They've been picnicking on the Granary Square where the Mass was held this morning. They're picnicking there because this evening, of course, is Pope Benedict XVI's meeting with the young people. They have no intention of going home. This is an all-day party here in Malta.